The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Don't sweat the technique.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light, on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gal building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
Joining us now, he has been outstanding this year for the Houston Dynamo, has added so much stability and organization to the back four. He is the one and only Raul Rodriguez. Raul, thank you for coming on the show. This really looks like a wonderful back four. You got the power, the strength, the aerial game of David Horst. You have your organizational skills, your ability in the air, your distribution. You got two outside backs that can really get forward. Are you getting more comfortable as you play games with the same group of guys?
Yes. I mean, in terms of balance, I think that we're every day getting a little bit better. We've been, since the beginning of the season, we've been changing the pieces in the back four, and I think that now, lately, in the last weeks, we're probably feeling very comfortable with this balance. I mean, there's very different players playing in this back line, and with different skills, as you said, and I feel that we're finding this balance in terms of when we're attacking and when we're defending. We're comfortable when we don't have the ball. This is a very important thing also, because it's not always be comfortable with the ball and be playing, and you have to be defending a lot of times. And as a line of four, I think that we're doing a very good job lately.
He's Raul Rodriguez, Dynamo defender, joining us ahead of their game against the New England Revolution. Raul, are you personally getting more comfortable game by game?
Yes, probably yes. I mean, it's a different league for me. It's a different style of soccer, there's a lot of things that you have to get used to. And there's a league, for example. There's a different team for me, a different teammates with a different coach, a different style. So there's a lot of things that you have to get used to week by week. I feel that last two months, there's not so much new things. You know, everything is the same week by week, and you have enough time to get comfortable and also to express yourself as well. So I think that in the same way that the team is doing it, I feel the same way. I mean, the team every day is finding their way to play. There's probably last chances in the team and in terms of pieces, as I said before. I feel the same as a defender, for example. I think that we're defending better, all the team together, and I feel more comfortable in the field when the team is being more comfortable as well. So I think it's this connection between me as a player or any of my teammates with the team. When the team is getting comfortable, you as an individual you're allowed to express yourself better. So I think there's this beautiful connection. And of course, yeah, I think that in the next weeks, I'm getting more and more comfortable.
You seem like you enjoy the change and the difference in playing in this league as opposed to playing in Spain. That must be important if you're going to adapt, right?
Yes, I can see if you're angry or you're enjoying what you're doing, I can see the way that you can not just your performance is about give all that you have. And for me, as I said, as a person, probably more than as a professional, I think that you have to enjoy what you do. And you know, here in Houston, everybody's helping me, starting from my teammates, for the staff. Everybody's doing things so easy for me, so I really appreciate that, and I try always to, you know, do my part. But it's be always ready for a coach, try to help the team in anything that I can. And honestly, I feel that, as I said before, I'm more comfortable, and at the same time, I'm enjoying all the process, not just on the field, but out the field, you know, in the locker room, when you're able to every week express better your thoughts, you're learning a new language, you're able to communicate more. So this is a big process around the field, but it's not just soccer, and I'm enjoying all the process.
He's Raul Rodriguez. Dynamo defenders having an outstanding year and had an outstanding game against San Jose. Raul, the process, that's a great word you just used, process. Isn't that what anybody who's going to be good at anything they do has to enjoy every day, the process? Not just the games and the fans and playing in front of the fans on the big stage, but the process of going to training every day and trying to improve.
I think so, yeah. I mean, as I said, you have to be patient, you know, because, for example, I can talk in my experience, there's a big change around you in all terms. I mean, not just as a professional, but as a personal being, you're in a different scenario where everything changed. So you have to, you know, be patient in all the stuff. I knew when I came here that I would need time, but I was probably not able at the beginning to express myself as a soccer player, but also, as I said before, as a person. You're there. There's a lot of new people around you. You're trying to arrive here the first week, first month, or even two. First month, for me, probably it was impossible to do an interview on the phone in English. And you have a lot of things to say and a lot of things to do, and you want to help in a different way, but you're not able to do it at the beginning. So everything is about being patient and try to find the momentum, not just, as I said, a soccer player, but as a person. And probably lately, you know, in the last month, last weeks, everything is becoming easier for me with the help of everybody. And I'm allowed to express myself and my way to play soccer better. So I think, you know, it's the thing that I can do for the team and for the club.
Raul, if I asked you what you missed about La Liga, what would that be?
Oh, that's a tough one. I would say, you know, I don't see it as I miss it, but for example, it's when I arrived here, I always, I was always asked about the differences between one type of soccer and the other. Mm-hmm. And I don't miss it, but it's true that there's different scenarios about, for example, in my position, it's different. You know, you're a striker or you're a winger or you're a guy that you have the ball in your feet and you're always attacking. There's no big difference because it's about you, it's about your skills. But when you're a defender and all your world is about being organized, is about being, you know, try to find, not get lost in chaos and do things by yourself, but with your team. So I think that it's not that I miss it, but it's a different organization in terms of tactic situation. It's a different way to, when I was in Spain, I knew that when I, for example, I had the ball, I can take my time. I know that even the other team knows that we're going to take our time moving the ball, you know, maybe a little bit more relaxed in that terms. But here, everything is fast. You know, it's physic, it's quick, and the rhythm of the game is so hard. And the reality is that I'm getting used to it, but at the beginning was a little bit complicated for me to get used to that big rhythm that everybody is even there. I mean, you can feel it when you're on the field. So I don't miss a bit, but I know that I'm changing in terms. So I'm evolving. I think that you can see it in a good way, right? Because it's a different situation for you as a soccer player, and it could come back, you know, to the other style, but I think it's probably a good thing. It's a thing you're earning for your play, and that's kind of always good.
Raul, how much did you play on artificial surface in Spain? Because your next two games are on an artificial surface. Did you play a lot on artificial fields in Spain? And what's the challenge when you get onto those types of surfaces?
Well, playing on, yeah, there's no turf, there's no artificial fields. So, yeah, it was like 6-7 years as a professional there, without almost playing except in pre-season in one of these games where that you're playing with another team that are not in La Liga. And but yeah, it's a challenge in terms of play two games in a row. When it's just one game, you're probably going to be dealing after the game during the week with some physics stuff, you know, there are very hard fields, so your back, your legs probably are gonna get sore or tight. It's the other thing you have to deal with. But the problem is when you're doing it twice in a row, or three in a row. That's the situation that we have to take care of. But in terms of playing the game, playing the match, I don't see it as a problem. I think that it's more about, okay, we have to recover after this game and be prepared for the other one, and then recover again because we're going to be probably a little bit, you know, this kind of physics thing. But I don't think that, you know, we have to change a lot about how we play or how we draw stuff. I think that it's more like, you know, don't think about it because the ball is moving it. And for them, as a, you know, they're playing at home, they're used to it. So you have to try to avoid all the difficulties that this kind of turf or surface can make, you know.
He's Raul Rodriguez joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. How do you feel the confidence of the team growing right now, Raul?
Yes, probably, you know, with results, when the results are coming, everybody feels that as a team, you know, when you're playing and you feel like you're a good job, but you're losing or you're not able to win often, probably you'll think, okay, I'm fine, but I have to do more. And when you're in the situation that you think, okay, next week we have to do the same, it's a different stuff. It's a different situation. When you have these young players that at the beginning of the season were not allowed to play so much or they have not so many minutes, and now they're playing, they are becoming important, they are giving a lot to the team. So I think there's this confidence in the air, and it's about the results. And we always say that as a professional, you have to found the good things in everything. So when you're losing, you have to use the situation to help you or to learn, to improve. And when you're winning, you have to do the same. Use the situation, and the situation now is helping us to move forward and to do the same stuff, but better every week. And I think that confidence is a word that probably it has been, you know, all the time around us during the last, I always say, like 1 month and a half, something like that.
Raul, how do you like Houston? How do you like the U.S.? What's your favorite thing about living in the United States?
My favorite thing? I probably would say that it's a big change, and I think that it's the better thing now. It's a change. This is what I was looking for when I came here with you know, with my wife, and you arrive here, and you're looking for a different place. I was born in Barcelona in Spain. I always lived there, so I know that scenario. So I was looking for a different thing. And here in Houston is quite different. I mean, it's a different city with a different weather. It's a different organization because, you know, this is so big, and you have to use your car to go to every place, and then you maybe have the chance to take a walk. You have to do more activities indoors, so it makes you, you know, have contact with people more often than probably in another cities when you're outside. There's a different concept, but I think that probably the thing that I would say right now is the people. I mean, when, you know, and also when you're coming here and you're trying to learn their language and people, not everybody, but I would say 95% of people, he's very patient with you, very kind, they're trying to explain how they live, how they do their things. It's a, you know, it's a different culture, and for me the best thing now is that we are having the opportunity to enjoy it and to be there and to live it, and we're finding a lot of very interesting people, very kind people, not just inside Houston Dynamo, but outside, people on the street, people on the, you know, the stores or whatever. We're having a good time in that terms. We're knowing a lot of kind people that makes all the experience better. You know?
Well, Raul, listen, we're glad you're enjoying Houston. I think everybody's thrilled to watch you play the game and the way you play the game. So thank you very much for coming on, as always. Thank you. And I have to tell you, your English is spectacular. You are jumping. I mean, I remember the first interview I did with you. Your English is excellent. So
I'm working on it every day, so I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much, and we wish you the best of luck against New England, Raul.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, sir.
All right, that's Raul Rodriguez, Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. Quick word here for Budweiser. Budweiser reminds you to get over to HoustonDynamo.com. Get down to see the Raul Rodriguez, the Houston Dynamo, at BBVA Compass Stadium. HoustonDynamo.com for Dynamo tickets, Houston Dash tickets. And by the way, get ready for Argentina, because they are coming to BBVA Compass Stadium September 4th to take on Bolivia. That's Di Maria and company. Lionel Messi will be at BBVA Compass Stadium. Bud Light, the official sponsor of Dynamo All Access on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light, on your home for the Houston Dynamo. Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gal Building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, the Dynamo have been very solid defensively in the last couple of games here, and have had an outstanding season defensively overall. Big improvement from last year, and joining us, one of the big pieces of all of this, is Dynamo defender David Horst. David, thank you for coming on the program.
No problem. Thanks for having me on, Glenn.
Well, let's just in the big scheme of things, boy, this was just a monster 3 points at BBVA Compass Stadium against San Jose.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, we got to win our games at home because, you know, it's tough to go on the road in the MLS and get points. So every home game is just that much more important. And then also, you know, it was against a Western Conference opponent, and, you know, the Western Conference is tight right now, so every win is a 6-point swing. Every loss is a 6-point swing the other way. So it's just, you know, it's every point is just vital right now for the teams fighting for playoff spots.
Now, in this game, what was the danger that San Jose posed? I mean, they were without Matias Perez-Garcia. Obviously, Chris Wondolowski coming from late. They have a very similar striker to Dom Dwyer, who you faced the weekend before, in Ameriquois, who's kind of a pest and a very dangerous guy because he never gives up. What were the biggest challenges for you personally as a center back in this game?
Well, when in a game, you know, when balls get played in over the top or they get played through, a lot of times if a forward knows that they don't have a chance, they don't chase after it, giving the defense time to, you know, kind of recover a little bit. But when you play against a guy like Quincy Miracle, he chases everything down no matter what. If it's going out by a mile, he'll still chase it down and take that chance that something happens and the ball stays in bounds. So he always keeps you on your toes, and you always have to be mindful of him no matter where the ball is in the field, because you know he's going to be going after it. And he's always chasing guys down. He plays tough defense for a forward. And so he's an annoying guy, not in a bad way, but he's an annoying person to play against. And then, you know, you always have to worry about Chris Wondolowski. I mean, he's scored buckets of goals in the last couple of years now. And so you always got to be wary of where he's in the field. He's the kind of player that, you know, he doesn't really have to have a position. And he can float from sideline to sideline. He can, you know, be wherever he wants in the box. And, you know, the ball finds him. And he finds good spots to find the ball. And so you always think it's just they're two very dangerous players that you have to worry about.
Now let me go back to Ameriquois, because that type of player can wear you down mentally, because you really don't have a chance to rest, because you have to see every play out with them, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. And when you get the ball as a center back, a lot of time, you know, forwards will give you like a half pressure, but not really trying to get the ball. But when you play against a Miracle, you know he's coming 100%. He wants to get that ball from you. And even if he doesn't, he's all right with getting a piece of you, getting a piece of your ankle or whatever, you know, whatever it is. You know, he's always testing you and constantly just a nuisance up there.
David Horst joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. Joe Willis comes in goal for the injured Tyler Derrick. Different personalities, different styles of goalkeeping. That's always a challenge as well, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but that's because you're just used to somebody who's been back there consistently.
Yeah, but I think Joe did a great job in the game, and we were able to practice with Joe all week long because Tyler was trying to, you know, get that foot healthy for the weekend, and so we were able to work with Joe and get to know him. And you know, Joe's been fantastic all year long, you know, from preseason to the Open Cup games to the games that he's had to come in for Tyler. So we knew what we were getting from Joe, and he's a big guy, he's huge, and you know, playing against a team like San Jose who likes to put balls in the box, having somebody like that, you know, behind you and, you know, having your back, it's a good feeling as a defender knowing that he can come pick those balls out of the air.
Now, overall, you guys were good defensively. I guess the only area people could be critical would be not seeing out the phases of defending what ultimately led to the Amerikwa goal, and then one time getting caught off a quick free kick to Wondolowski. But outside of that, it seems like you defended San Jose very well.
Yeah, you know, I thought we did a great job defensively, all four of us on the back and then Luis in front of us. But, you know, even from that very first game against San Jose, we've turned off a little bit on those free kicks, you know, that goal against San Jose in the first game that they scored on, and then, you know, the Wondolowski chance in the last game, and even the goal that did score, it all comes from, like, it came from a corner kick and us not, you know, staying with our guys the whole play. So that's just something, you know, when we go back and watch video, we're going to have to work on that in practice and be wary of that going into the next game.
Yeah, it almost looked like you guys assumed the ball was going to be cleared and maybe pushed out a little bit too quickly in some areas. And I guess that can happen when it's 70th minute or 80th minute, and the heat down here, I mean, it's such a stretch mentally, but you just can't assume when you're a defender, can you?
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes people take that chance that it is cleared, and then we win the ball and we're on a great counterattack. And then sometimes it backfires against you like it did in this game where guys took off thinking we had won the ball and that we were on a counterattack. But really, San Jose still has control of it, and they were able to clip it in the back post to their left back. And, you know, we didn't have anybody there. And it's one of those things that you just gotta use your experience, and we gotta learn from it going forward.
Well, the good news is nobody seemed to panic, and you found a way to get the game winner, and it was a beautiful goal, beautifully constructed goal. And what was the sense once the game got tied up? Because really, it seemed to me a game for the most part you guys controlled, looked the more dangerous team on attack as well.
Yeah, and we've gone down a goal or been tied and a couple times this year at home, and it hasn't bothered us. We know, you know, it playing in this heat, we know what it takes in that last 20 to 30 minutes, what it takes to win a game. And a lot of teams come in here and they wilt in the last 20 minutes. So I think, you know, we knew we had that going for us, and we were very confident going forward with the guys that we brought into the game. And we knew that, you know, at some point, we were going to get a goal. And so as defenders, you know, we just had to focus extra hard not to give up another one.
You go up in practice against Kubo Torres a lot. Talk a little bit about his game and his movement and some of the things you see about around his game. Because, boy, you know, he starts popping in goals here. Who knows what can happen?
Yeah, he's a great addition to the team at this point in the season. And the great thing is you get to go up against a guy like him and Giles Barnes in practice. Like a guy like Giles is, you know, he's all athletic ability. He's trying to run by you. But then when you go up against a guy like Kubo, you know, Kubo's very smart. He knows how to get into the right space, to get into the right areas to find the ball. And he plays just, as a defender, he plays just off your shoulder and stays on side and gets himself in good spots. And, you know, you always have to be tuned in and know where he is. He's dangerous from, you know, anywhere in front of goal. You know, he can use his feet, he can use his head, and it's great for us to be able to, you know, go up against that in practice, because we're going to go up against other forwards in this league that are like that. And, you know, going up against a guy like that in practice, you know, we'll be ready for it in games.
David Horst joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. It's Dynamo All Access. The Dynamo go on the road this weekend in New England, a game you can catch on Root Sports. They will play the Revolution on artificial surface. You'll go back to your old team, the Portland Timbers, David, on artificial surface, then Colorado at altitude. So as I was talking to Shannon Williams, this is real challenging. Not only is it opponents, but it's also differing surfaces and altitude.
Yeah, and as if we want to be a playoff team, we have to go into these places and play and learn how to play well. We got to be able to go into Portland and play on the turf. We got to be able to go into Colorado and play in the altitude, and not just play, but be successful. And that's a sign of a playoff team, a team that can go in there and manage the clock, manage the game, and ultimately come out of there with 1 point, come out of there with 3 points, whichever it is. And, you know, I think this 2 week stretch here is going to be a real big test for us physically and mentally.
David, you're playing great this year. Thank you very much for the phone call, or thank you very much for coming on the program. And we appreciate, as always, you coming on, and best of luck against the New England Revolution.
No problem. I appreciate it, Glenn. Thank you.
All right. He's the one and only David Horst, playing well as the center back for the Houston Dynamo. They go on the road in New England this weekend. This one's a can't miss. These three games could be very defining for the Dynamo. We'll take a break here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light, on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gow Building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. We always try to get you some thoughts and perspective from the opponent. Well, the Dynamo go to New England, as we mentioned. This weekend at Gillette Stadium on the artificial surface, the Revolution now in their last three games, two wins and a draw. They are starting to turn things around. They will also get Jermaine Jones back. Had an opportunity to catch up with their play-by-play man, Brad Feldman. Brad, how are you?
Hey, Glenn. Very well. Good to be on with you.
Nice to have you on. All right, well, let's get the skinny on the New England Revolution right now is, you know, Jermaine Jones went down injured in the late end of May here, but the Revolution now, in their last three games, a 1-0 win over New York City FC at home, 2-2 draw with Chicago, and a 3-1 win over Toronto FC. So it seems the ship has been righted a little bit, and the word is that maybe Jermaine Jones comes back against the Houston Dynamo and gets some minutes.
Well, he got 15 minutes of a run out at the end of the Toronto game. And the bad news for the Dynamo and the other teams around the league is that he looked well and like his old self. He completed 90% of his passes, most of them in the attacking part of the field, many of them across distance, and he made one dashing forward run that was particularly notable because he appeared to be unimpeded by his injury. He had bilateral sports hernia surgery. And so I don't know if he's going to get the start against Houston, but he certainly looked like a guy who's getting closer to full fitness. So the Reds are a different team with Jermaine in there, not just his abilities on and off the ball, but just the confidence boost that he gives the team is noticeable. It shows up in the one loss record and also just the collective belief that you can see in the moment to the naked eye. They're a more confident team with Jermaine there. So, yeah, things are on the uptick for the Rebs, who are really in a slump in June and July. Things are a lot better right now, the mood around the team and their prospects.
New England Revolution last year all the way to the MLS Cup final. Charlie Davies, the leading goal scorer with 9. Lee Wynn has 5. What's Jermaine like to work with? Because I think what's appealing to him and many fans is just how competitive this guy is. And you know, there's no bones about it. This isn't about selfies and six-packs. This guy, when he plays, gives his all.
Yeah, it's manifest in everything that he does. And he brings that European brand of professionalism to the side. I think he leads by example in training, in the locker room. Jay Heaps has been vocal about the fact that his team looks up to this guy. There are other leaders. Chris Tierney just got the All-Star nod. Jose Gonzalez, who was the designated club captain the previous two seasons. But Jermaine, by virtue of the fact that you know he's played at the top level in the Bundesliga and in Champions League matches and in the World Cup, he has something different than anybody else has in that side. And so, you know, I think that, you know, he ticks every box. And so, you know, the marketing side, yeah, the selfies and six-packs, he's got that too. But that's, you're right to say, Glenn, he's a legitimate seasoned battler. And the only issue has been his health. But he appears to be back. Now, the first time they went in for the surgery in the off season, they didn't find what they were looking for. So he got opened up, but to no good effect. And so when he broke down on May the 31st, it wasn't, you know, a total surprise, but it was a setback. Now they appear to have identified the issue with the most recent surgery. So I think it's, you know, knock on wood from a Revolution perspective, a good sign.
Brad, let's talk a little bit about Jay Heaps and this team and sort of the approach this year after getting to an MLS Cup final. And obviously when Jermaine Jones came here, this thing clicked to another level. But what's the season overall? Just a quick synopsis, sort of a Cliff Notes version of how it's been. I know there's been some ups and downs like most MLS teams.
Yeah, it's been a weird, almost mirror image to last season, where you remember they got battered by Houston in the 2014 season opener. They lost badly in their first couple of games this year. They got killed in the opener in Seattle, and then went to New York to play in NYCFC's first game at Yankee Stadium and lost. And then they went on a terrific run, and they were top of the league for a little while. Everything looked rosy. And then from the beginning of May through June, they only won one game in nine. And but they amassed enough points earlier in the season. They were still in the playoff places, and it wasn't until some teams started to catch up in terms of games in hand that they started to slip down from first to second to a tie for fourth and fifth. And so now with the bye week that they're coming off of, teams have made up some games, and I think their points per game are a more realistic snapshot of what this team is. You know, it has been a real roller coaster ride. But they've taken seven out of their last 9 points, as you noted, and it appears to be better. But you know what a fine margin there is between victory and defeat in this league. So many weeks, it's one or two mistakes or one or two moments of brilliance that makes the difference. So in many of the games, there are a couple of games where they got soundly beaten, notably their trip to Dallas on the 4th of July where they got battered. But, you know, when they were top of the Eastern Conference, there was a part of your brain that said maybe they're not as good as their record might reflect. And then when they were not winning games for nearly 2 months, it almost seemed like they were just not getting the luck of the, you know, the rub of the green or the benefit of the referee's doubt or whatever it was. So I think that right now where they are is a fair reflection of the kind of season they've had. But, you know, with the re-addition of Jermaine Jones, you know, when the Reds are playing well, they're up in your shirts in the attacking third of the field, out of possession, winning the ball in good spots, high pressure for not the entire 90 minutes, but much of the game. And then they have the skill guys and the quick movement off the ball to play some really attractive stuff and punish teams who try to play out of the back or who don't take care of the ball or skip the midfield, because the Reds really do have a good system with this 4-2-3-1. And guys like Scotty Caldwell have been terrific. Lee Wynn has gotten back to his best. Charlie Davies, as you know, is the leading scorer, but provides a great platform for the quick guys like Diego Fagundes and Juan Agudelo and Kellen Rose returned to better form lately to play off of. And, you know, Daigo Kobayashi and Andy Dorman have filled in capably in the absence of Jermaine Jones. But if he could start spraying that ball around with accuracy and opening people. I'm not going to say he's at the same level as David Beckham, but he's in the same conversation in terms of the best long passers in this league in the last decade. Jermaine Jones, if he can pick up his head, he can play that swish ball on an angle that will take 3-4 midfielders out of the play in you know, just 1 second, and all of a sudden the Reds are at the races.
Brad, give me an unsung hero this year for the New England Revolution.
I'll go back to Scott Caldwell's name. I think he is really a guy who has a bright future in the league, but maybe even is going to get some national team call-ups. He's just always in the right spot. He's not a terrific tackler, but he wins the ball with excellent anticipation, terrific positioning, quickness. He's smooth on the ball. He brings to mind a younger Brian Carroll. but he may even have a bigger upside than what Brian accomplished in his very notable MLS career. Caldwell is the glue week in and week out, even when some of the bigger names are not on top of their game or are out injured. Scott Caldwell has played in every game for Jay Heaps this season. He's the only outfield player to play in every game, actually the only player, because Bobby Shuttleworth is coming off a couple of weeks where he was injured. So he's been consistent, both in terms of his availability and his performance level, and I think he's one of the underrated talents in MLS right now.
So that was part one with Brad Feldman. More talk about the New England Revolution and Dynamo matchup when we return.
Listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light, on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gal Building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
Quick word here for Bud Light. Bud Light reminds you to get down to HoustonDynamo.com. That is where you get Dynamo tickets. You get Houston Dash tickets. Bud Light wants you to go to BBVA Compass Stadium. They want you to be in the stadium with like-minded individuals. Experience the game live. That's what Bud Light wants. And they remind you, in order to do that, well, you get your tickets at HoustonDynamo.com for both the Houston Dash and Carly Lloyd and the Houston Dynamo. And don't forget, Argentina, September 4th against Bolivia. Believe it or not, in the intimacy of BBVA Compass Stadium. Bud Light, the official sponsor of Soccer Matters over on our sister station, ESPN 97.5. And Bud Light, the official sponsor right here of Dynamo All Access on Yahoo Sports Radio. All right, part two now of Brad Feldman, the play-by-play man of the New England Revolution. All right, Juan Agudelo and Lee Wynn. Take me to both of them, because Wynn had an unbelievable season last year. Agudelo also is an eclectic, you know, creative young player like Lee Wynn. Where are these two guys mentally, and how are they this year? What has their influence been, and are you expecting more?
I think Lee Wynn's slow start statistically was not evaluated in the correct light. There was some talk about his unhappiness with his contract, which I believe was true, and it's you know, something that's been out in the media. But I don't think he was ever down tools. I don't think he was ever giving anything less than what his best was in a given moment. It was more a question of he quietly had off-season surgery, too, so he was coming back from injury at the beginning of the season, never used that as an excuse, but we saw as soon as he started to get to be his old self, in the beginning of June, all of a sudden he started to turn in consistent man of the match performances. But, you know, he scored 18 goals in 2014, and he hasn't matched that kind of output. But in recent weeks, he has been that guy, and we've done some features in-game and the shoulder programming for the Revolution here in New England that have really pointed up at his movement, his availability, his vision, really, you know, open things up for other guys. He's the most fouled player on the team. Nobody is sleeping on Lee Wynn anymore, so I think he's attracting more attention. But that creates space, as you know, for other attacking players. So Lee Wynn has been integral, and I would say in the last 4 to 6 weeks has looked like the player he was when he was a team MVP in 2014 and a finalist for most valuable player in the whole league. Juan Agudelo in the second go-round with Perez has been an interesting case because, you know, there was a lot of hoopla. A lot of people didn't think, oh, they would sign Agudelo to go with Jermaine Jones, but it didn't work out because of the work permit issues in England. For a young player like Juan, who's, you know, is just 22, you can see that taking some wind out of a guy's sails, right? He thought he was going to the English Premier League, and now here he is back with the MLS team that he left in fall of 2013. I think that he really came out of the blocks fast to start the season. He was one of the better players for the Revs every week in the early part of the season when they had that good run late March, you know, through April into early May. But he went off with the national team. You remember he scored for the U.S. In the Mexico game, and then he had a couple of games. But when he came back, he wasn't the same guy. And it later came out through Coach Jay Heaps that he was carrying a slight knee injury. And so he fell out of the starting lineup. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Revs slumped. Nobody was putting it on Juan, but I think that when the Revs are doing really well, they have two guys attacking from the wings. It also coincided with a bit of a revival for Diego Fagundes. So all of a sudden, Agudelo is coming off the bench, but my colleague in the booth, Paul Mariner, has been calling out Agudelo as one of the top performers the last couple of weeks as the Revs have gotten better and started getting points in the standings. Even coming off of the bench, he's looked sharper in the last two or three games, more like the guy we saw in April and May when he was doing really well. So I would say that that also is bad news for teams around the Eastern Conference, that Agudelo is starting to get back to his best.
Brad, like in Houston, you hit the 65th minute here, and people hit the wall in this heat down here. I mean, it's pretty unbearable right now. Is the artificial surface that big of an advantage for the New England Revolution?
Well, I think they think it is. Obviously, it's not when a team like Vancouver comes in and they're used to it. You know, there are a few other teams around the league that have the field turf. The Reds don't train on it most days. They will on a Friday to prepare for a Saturday game. I think that, you know, young players in the U.S. and North America now grow up playing and training on this stuff, and increasingly throughout the world. And
God, what a shame! What a shame! What a shame that is.
But yeah,
what a shame that is.
Yeah, well, it's not what a lot of purists consider real soccer, and I hear what you're saying. But I think what it means is that everybody has spent time on it. And most people will tell you, if you're a pro, you know, it should take you about the length of a warm-up to recalibrate your passes. But that said, if psychologically it gives the Reds a boost, yeah, to think that they are more used to it, then it, you know, any edge is an edge. And so, you know, I think the only disadvantage is that, you know, some of the older players may get a little more beat up from playing on week in, week out. And it's not as attractive on the eye as I think you're alluding to. But, yeah, the Revs, for the time being, the Revs will take it until they get their own stadium with real grass. I think that they're, you know, they're content to the party line is certainly, yeah, it gives them an edge, so they're happy to have.
Yeah, it's interesting, Brad, because I just Raul Rodriguez has been on the show tonight, and he mentioned that, yeah, it's okay playing on it once, but you know they're about to go on a road trip and do it back to back games, and he talked just about the soreness and the recovery off of it, and it was interesting to hear his thoughts on it. Brad, as always, I thank you very much for all that great New England Revolution insight. Have a great call on the game, and thank you very much for coming on the show.
Hey, Glenn, you as well. It's great to talk to you.
So that was New England Revolution play-by-play man Brad Feldman. But let's get a word here from Jermaine Jones, because Jermaine Jones could play a larger part in this match. Here is the U.S. International New England Revolution midfielder Jermaine Jones.
If you be out with injury, is always bad, and you have to see or have to watch your games from TV and from outside. It's not nice. So I was happy already that I was with the team in Chicago, and the whole weeks when I start to train on the field with the team, and then to come back in a home game, first time after injury, it's amazing. I think everybody who came to the game saw the support from fans. For the team, and especially for me, it's great.
Well, we finish up tonight with Jermaine Jones. Don't forget, podcasts are on iTunes and also at ESPN975.com. Click the audio vault, click on Soccer Matters or Dynamo All Access. Also, for your Dynamo tickets and Dash tickets, it's HoustonDynamo.com. And don't forget, Argentina coming here on September 4th. That's a game you will not want to miss as well. The Dynamo against New England on Root Sports. This Saturday night, catch the pregame show with Eddie Robinson and I. For producer Michael Carroll and Adam Sager, I'm Glenn Davis. Have a great weekend and good night.